Let me just make it up to you. Let me just make it up. Let me just make it up to you. And I know there's nothing else that I can do. Let me just make it up to you.
Welcome to Vamp Radio Band Night. Today is September the 2nd, 2009. New show is hosted by me, Amy, and my guest host tonight, Sin. Hi, Sin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So Sin has brought us a guest to Band Night because she knows I've been busy. So Sin, why don't you tell us a little about our guest tonight?
We're bringing in tonight a gentleman by the name of Steve Means. He is a singer-songwriter currently residing in Nashville via Cincinnati, I think. And I found Steve a couple last year on MySpace and have just been kind of following him. So when Amy was like, I don't have a guest, I was like, hey, let's see if we can get this guy on. And he is currently out on tour. He's touring colleges. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him, everybody get to know him.
And he's on the line right now.
Yes,
hi,
hello.
Steve.
How are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting here in rainy Sioux City, Iowa, in my hotel room all by my lonesome.
I was wondering where you were. You played in Nebraska last night, right?
Correct. Yes, did a couple shows in Nebraska the past couple days, and then I've got one tomorrow and Friday in Sioux City. So,
okay,
it's a good time.
This was perfect. If everybody in the chat room could just give me a heads up of who is new to Steve, who listened to anything since we started twittering that we were going to have him on. Has anybody listened to anything, or is he new to everybody in the chat room?
I believe he's new to everybody in the chat room.
Okay. I'm all right. I'm used to being the new guy. That's okay.
I'm going to kind of direct the interview by basically, who's all new and who hadn't listened to a few of the songs at least. So,
sure.
Well, hi and welcome. Great to have you. Great to be able to help move somebody along. I thought it was what we love to do here.
Yeah.
New to me about a half an hour ago is one person said.
Nice.
Are you in the chat room, Steve, or are you just calling in?
I don't even know how to be in the chat room, but I'm looking at the page. I'm looking at a chat room, but I'm not in it or involved in it.
Okay. I don't know if you can see what they're saying. He's great. He's cute. I've listened to the whole MySpace already. So there we go. Well, all right. We want to talk a little bit about you and how you came to be where you are. You are originally from Cincinnati?
Yes.
And
spent most of my life there. My family's all still there. And just kind of went up to school at Ohio State up in Columbus, Ohio, and then decided it was time to move down to Nash, Vegas and start playing music down there. So that's where I've
why
been.
Why Nash,
past.
Vegas? Why particularly,
well,
Nash, Vegas? I mean, there's lots of places for singer-songwriters to try and land.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it was kind of up in the air. When I was in college, I was kind of leaning towards L.A. and or towards Nashville. And I'd always kind of been scared or hesitant about L.A. and didn't quite want to make the giant leap out there, and thought Nashville was kind of a good meeting. It's a beautiful, beautiful state, and a lot of talent there and a lot of opportunities.
Yes.
So,
we were just recently in Nash, Vegas in April.
Oh, nice.
And I was looking actually to see if I could catch you at the time I was there, but you were out touring colleges.
Yeah, I'm out probably 20 days out of every month out hitting the roads. So.
Yeah, your next scheduled show in Nashville happened to be like the week after I was going to be there. I was like, darn, missed him by that much.
Ah, dang it.
So I see a lot. I was following kind of the college tours a little bit, and I don't recall, you know, everything that was in April and whatever, but I see you really heading out to the Midwest and you know, really across the thing. But have you come north and northeast, the Mid-Atlantic region, up through New York or?
Not entirely. I've played New York one time, and I'm up in Chicago and Pennsylvania, but I haven't really made it up far northeast. I'd love to make it up to Boston, and you know, I'd love to get some more New York stuff going. So, haven't quite been hitting that area too hard, but it's mostly the South and kind of Midwest and Central, and so a little bit of everywhere, but.
Okay. What has the experience been like for you? I know there's a lot of, you know, really good singer-songwriters to hook up with in Nashville. And I'm wondering if you've, you know, made some friends, some connections. I know last year I think you were out with, who was it, Jonathan Clay?
Yeah. One of my best friends is Jonathan Clay from Austin, Texas. And I met him via MySpace. And as well with another good friend, Nathan Angelo, from Atlanta, Georgia. And these are two guys I kind of met online on MySpace, as weird as that sounds. We were competition at first, and it's come to find out we were always checking out each other's pages and seeing what the other one was doing. And then finally we reached out to each other, and I was going to be in the Texas area, so I asked if he wanted to do a couple shows, and we instantly just fell in love, and the rest is just details, I guess.
So, you were at South by Southwest. Is that why? Is that the time you were going to be in Texas? You did South by Southwest.
Yes, I did that. I did that last year and the year before. But we had actually met prior to that, and then because we had met prior to that, I had a nice place to stay in Austin for South by Southwest. So I was
That's
playing
great.
My cards right, you could say.
What was South by Southwest like for you?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I'd never experienced anything like that. It was kind of, you know, in Nashville, there's a lot of hype about it. You know, a lot of people love it. A lot of people have, you know, negative views on it. It was just kind of this sacred music festival that, you know, you didn't really know what it involved, but you knew you wanted to be a part of it or invited to. And finally made it down there, and it's just a whole weekend of, you know, so many great bands and singer-songwriters. And I don't know, it's funny, I ended up, the both years I've gone, the majority of the acts I went to see were Nashville acts. And I'm like, I thought that was a little peculiar why I traveled all the way to Austin just to see Nashville acts. But they're some of my favorite, and there's so much good music coming out of Nashville right now. It's crazy.
That's cool. When did you finally realize that you wanted to be a musician? How did you get started? How did you choose this path?
I guess it was early on. I started out in high school doing the garage band type thing, just, you know, trying to get any sort of music equipment you could in your parents' basement and cranking it up. And it was actually started playing drums for a Christian punk band when I was about 14. And that kind of drove my parents crazy, having band practice there with this crazy rock music. And they kind of always thought I might come around and eventually start playing something else that they could enjoy and brag to all their friends about. So finally made it there. I guess it was my senior year in high school. I discovered kind of acoustic guitar and how much I loved it. I was listening to a lot of Dave Matthews, a lot of John Mayer, Jason Mraz and stuff like that. And that kind of, once I started playing acoustic, decided that's what I needed to be doing and started writing songs. And then Columbus, Ohio was where I really kind of fine-tuned it all and really started playing out a bunch up there and getting a fan base built.
Okay. Amy, do we have another song that we might want to plug in here at this point?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
What do you got?
We're going to play one of my favorites, and it's X-Ray Eyes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That would be your song, Amy.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Okay.
It's one of my favorites also, but that would definitely be your song, Amy.
Nice.
Okay, here's X-Ray Eyes.
Next song's called X-Ray Eyes.
This is me kind of doing a looping technique where I'm looping multiple guitar parts and vocals over it, so might be confused where all these parts are coming from.
Get to know you just a little bit, more than just what's on the outside. Tell me a little bit about your history, and tell me about what brings you here to me, 'cause I was doing just fine. Got me lost in your eyes, questioning everything.
You were on my mind,
questioning everything. Twice, but baby, that is alright. Well, I assure you, it was harmless. You make me feel like something's missing. Well, I thought that I already had it all. Got me lost in your eyes, questioning everything.
You were on my mind,
questioning everything. No surprise, I'm faced with temptation. Oh, and for once in my life, I can lift my feet to run. So I'll stick around just to say hello, but I soon will say goodbye. 'Cause I don't have time for you in my life. No, I don't. You're not mine.
You were
on my mind. Twas you're not mine.
You were
on my mind. Twas you're not mine.
You
were on my mind.
Twas you're not mine.
And no surprise, I'm faced with temptation. And for once in my life, I can lift my feet to run. So I stick around just to say hello, but I soon will say goodbye. 'Cause I don't have time for you in my life. No, I don't have no time for you, my girl.
I'm unmuting myself, or trying to. I'm sorry, I had to mute myself because I started singing.
So, Steve, where was that recorded at?
That was recorded in Nashville, Tennessee, at a live show I did at the Rutledge. It's a music venue downtown. And we just did a live DVD shoot of that. So that's actually just the audio from a DVD video we did there.
Cool. Did not, when, was that with a full backing band or and backup
was,
singers?
So
we're hearing?
That was just me. That was it's a thing called looping. It's kind of a one-man band approach where, you know, I start by just kind of thumping on the guitar, creating a beat. That part records by clicking on a pedal, and then I'm able to play guitar part over that and then record that. And then I've also got a second microphone set up to where I can record some background vocals. So it's almost as if I got, you know, three girls singing backups, a full band, and really it's just me up there. And it's a lot easier on the travel expenses, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I, that was my next question, you know, for the uninitiated, you know, what would you expect to see the show? Because I knew that it was just you, and I didn't know if you were just going out with just the acoustic guitar and really doing the pared-down versions of the songs, but obviously not. And I had never actually seen that technique. And I've seen a lot of people, but I had actually never seen that technique until just a couple weeks ago I was in New York, and I saw a young man by the name of Norman Vladimir at Arlene's Grocery, and he did the same thing. And I thought it was just so unique and so great that that's really pretty cool. Yes, because it's expensive to take a band around, isn't it?
It is. It can get pricey. You know, you got people wanting to stop at separate times for bathroom breaks and what they want to eat. And, you know, it's
It's pricey taking yourself around these days.
Oh, yeah, with my Panera Bread habit that I've got, it's pricey enough as it is out on the road.
What is your favorite part about being a musician so far?
I absolutely love the traveling and performing and just constantly meeting, you know, new people, new faces. Being in the college scene, it really allows me to be around a lot of kids my own age. And so it makes me feel like, you know, I'm just back on campus hanging out with my friends again, playing guitar, you know, kind of how it started. So the traveling, the, you know, the reaction a song can cause for a person is just, you know, remarkable to hear a story about, you know, how it's touched somebody or how it's inspired them and, you know, how it's helped them get them through a situation. That's definitely one of the coolest feelings.
Do you, are you the person who keeps up your social network sites like Facebook and MySpace? See all that fan mail? And
absolutely. I think it's really important to just stay connected and, keep it on a personal basis because, you know, that's what originally these sites were created for is, you know, just to meet other people and that share the same interests and, you know, music, what have you. So, yeah, it's me on MySpace and Facebook and Twitter just 24/7 trying to respond to every message and comment that I get. You know,
I've noticed that you've really embraced Twitter.
Yeah.
I think I replied once, and I think I left you a message on your MySpace once. So if you remember this, I'm the crazy woman who wrote you about this. the thing that I have most enjoyed, you know, other than your music and, you know, and following, seeing, okay, what's he up to? You know, where's he going to be? You know, is he coming anywhere near Baltimore? That's where I live. It was the twits to come out from the road because they're these great one-liners a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I one that sticks out in my mind from last year was you were like, just checked into the motel, there's blood on the sheets, it's not mine. Oh, great.
That was one of my fondest memories of last year, too.
And you want to hear the stories behind that. So I'm the person that wrote it. I was like, you need to write a book. Lots of musicians have augmented something by basically putting out their tour diaries. You just know there's some kind of story behind checking into this motel and finding blood on the sheets. Where I think that what was the toilet wasn't working. There was a pan under it or something.
Oh yeah, the guy had me. You know, as he checked me in, he took me to the bathroom and said, "Well, you got to change this pan like every 4 hours throughout the night, or it's going to overflow and my bathroom will be flooded." And I was like, "Oh great, this is going to be a good night."
They're just so funny. They're just these great one-line zingers. And I really think you just use them as the title for each little, like, you know, short story. You know, people love hearing road stories. And, you know, and I know that it's pretty boring most of the time. A lot of downtime, a lot of, you know, whatever. But the interesting, you know, just the comment that, the crowd was great or those kind of things. And the interesting things that you may run into. But I just really think you really should start compiling it. It will be called Mean Twits on the Road.
I think it's a great idea. No, I remember both times you've mentioned that and reading it on Twitter, and I'm always like, man, okay. Because I never see myself writing a book, but, you know, compiling something like this and kind of just creating little, you know, short stories about it, I think that'd be fun.
Locking my car out at, minus 30 degrees in, like, Fargo or something.
Yeah.
Keys locked in car. You know, these are the adventures. I think that the people get a kick out of it because it makes them understand. You know, from the people who aren't in the music business or have not been around it, they're like, ooh, tour. You know, it's like this glamorous thing. And you really realize very quick that, no.
Yeah, it's not the most glamorous lifestyle, being a touring musician.
No, it is not.
But
most glamorous lifestyle.
It is. You know, it's a lot of fun, but like you said, there's a lot of downtime. And so, you know, people always ask me for these crazy tour stories, and I never feel like I have them, but. No, I guess tweeting is an easy way just to kind of get out a couple sentences, and you can let your imagination put the story together.
There you go. Now, we asked you what your favorite thing about being a musician is. What is the hardest thing?
I'd say the hardest thing I've been battling with these past 2 years, and I've realized it's going to be something I guess I will be dealing with for the rest of my life, but it's kind of this love-hate relationship for the road and for being at home or just downtime. It's like as a musician, you know, you're out on the road a lot, you're in different cities, never sleeping in the same bed, so you can't wait to get home. And so I get home to Nashville, I'm there, you know, 5-6 days, and now all of a sudden I'm starting to stress out. I'm like, what am I doing? I need to be out on the road. I'm being lazy. I'm not doing anything with my life. I need to be out there. So then I get out on the road, and it feels great, you know, like it does right now. But now I'm going on, you know, 2 weeks, rounding the corner for the third week, and, you know, I can't wait to get back to Nashville now for those couple of days just to basically repack my suitcase and do it all over again. But, it's just – I think battling with that is something that I've recently discovered that I'm going to have trouble with, sounds like, forever, because I love being out and I love being home, but – you always want the other.
I know we've always found that there's almost a depression that sets in after you've been. It's kind of a surreal life, and then you come home and you're so happy to be home. I agree. And then but then there's like this little depression that sets in,
every month. It really does. Yeah. And me and my buddy Nathan and Jonathan, we call each other to help cope with the depression, or we call it, you know, good mood suicide, is when we're feeling so good and all of a sudden now we just feel like crap. And so we call each other to kind of exchange stories, and then it turns out we're always kind of battling with the same thing at the same time. So it's good to have other musicians doing the same thing.
Absolutely. How do you see your career progressing? I mean, what is your kind of ultimate goal? Are you liking staying in this kind of independent type of genre, you know, work? I'm wondering, I guess my real question is, what do you think about the music industry and getting, you know, in bed with major labels and things like that? A lot of people, especially acoustic players, singer-songwriters, they're really like, I don't need you guys. You know, I have all this social networking. I can put these albums out on my own.
Sure.
I can hit the road.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, but that does seem kind of where the world's going, or the industry at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, all the executives at the labels and everyone's kind of freaking out right now because nobody knows where it's going to go. And so, you know, here they used to be the most confident, powerful people in the business. Well, now they're doubting themselves and have no idea what they're doing. And so, yeah, it's kind of, it's, I love having the control over the career and the decision making and the songs I put out and everything, you know, my marketing approach, everything like that. But I'm also open, you know, there are still some great deals out there, and we've been talking with a few different labels. But just I'm definitely willing to hold out for the perfect opportunity, kind of the right deal, because, you know, there's a lot of junk out there, and there are some great deals still going on out there. So, you know, I'm kind of open to anything, but as of right now, I'm self-sustained, doing my own thing as a independent artist. So I can't complain right now.
I think that's really pretty wise. I'm hoping that the labels come around. I don't think we're going to see the nonsense I think that we saw a lot of in the 80s and 90s of them, you know, taking such total control over an artist and such total control over, you know, they owned almost everything they did.
Sure.
And you know, an artist, you know, we're getting, what, 8 points an album maybe? And,
right.
You know, the label's throwing all kinds of money at you, but everybody else gets paid before you, and you're touring 24/7, and you're out on the road, and you have no life, and you're just, like, half dead.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing any money. And, you know, you pour your heart and soul into an album, and they go, oh, we're not releasing that. We don't like it. Take that song off.
Oh, yeah.
Off. You know, and I think
it is changing.
I think that the artists are making them. And I was wondering if you had an opinion about the current, the new up-and-coming trend to go back to vinyl.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I love, you know, there's nothing better than throwing on an old vinyl record. I feel like, you know, it's such a warm sound and has so much character that I love it. And so a lot of bands are kind of putting out these throwback EPs on vinyl. And I think it's a great idea because, you know, a lot of kids are buying old record players and it's becoming, you know, a hip again to be listening to vinyl. So it's kind of been full circle, and now, oh, you've got a CD player? That's lame, you know, in your house. You need an old vintage record player. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's really cool. I know a lot of people are recording in analog again just to get that kind of classic old school sound. My buddy Nathan Angelo just did that recently. And there's no replacing that sound. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can try all you want in Pro Tools to get that digital sound out of there, but, yeah, I think it's really cool that people are doing it, and I would definitely be open to it.
I miss albums, you know, being a true music geek. I know people put out their CD sleeves and those kind of things, but, you know, the print's so small, you need a magnifying glass to read it, and I miss the artwork and the liner notes, you know, especially if somebody writing some really cool liner notes that you can actually read because they're on the little paper sleeve that protected the vinyl record, and
right.
You know, you can see the whole list of who's singing and who wrote the songs, because geeks like me want to know, you know, who produced it, who wrote it.
Oh, I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. I get mad if it's not on there. I'm like, dang it. I've got
exactly.
to do research online or something.
Like, who's backing him up? Who's playing this? I want to know whose music company that is. Whose publishing company? Who wrote the lyrics? I want to know that kind of stuff. If people were going to sample your music for the first time, if you were going to choose a song that you felt, they were like, choose a song that pretty much explains you. Choose one of your songs that pretty much explains you. What song would you play for them?
I don't know. I've got two new ones. One's called You and Me, and it was written this past Valentine's Day. This was my second year spent in a Super 8 motel room by myself on Valentine's Day. And so I started a tradition last year, and I was going to write kind of an optimistic love song. now each year. And so this was the product of this past Valentine's Day, and it's just, I feel like it's really connected to a lot of people, and it's one of my favorites to play and sing, and also another one called Do Something, and it's kind of just got the message of just kind of get out there, you know, do something. We can all sit here and talk about how the world, you know, all the problems that are going on, but, you know, unless you actually stand up for something and kind of do something behind your words, well, then there's no real point. So those are kind of two of the freshest, and really, I feel like they really, exemplify my music. They just really show the direction I'm headed, and that's kind of where I'm pushing everyone.
Okay.
And if
well,
we're
Amy.
Faster, we could be playing You and Me right now, but it's uploading.
It's uploading. But, Steve, I didn't know how much time we had with you. Are you going to stay with us for the whole hour or just the 30 minutes? Or?
I'm actually in the middle of recording in my hotel room right now. I've got my laptop and my mini keyboard and my headphones, and this is kind of where I do some of my best work. I'm actually going to get back to recording here in just a minute. But I really appreciate you having me on here. This is awesome. A lot of fun.
Well, it was great to have you. Hopefully we'll have you back and some next time. Is there a new album coming out? You've done 207, 208. You did the single You and Me in 209. Are you working on another full album? I am.
I'm working on a new EP, hopefully come out this fall or winter. That's what I'm recording currently and songwriting for. So we'll definitely hope to see something this fall or winter.
And we kind of have to get to up to Baltimore, Pennsylvania, Virginia. You know, there's a really lot of cool, you know, the Jam and Java, Iota Cafe. We definitely can get you in those places up here and get to, you know, it's not the college circuit, but it'll be good.
Oh yeah, I'm all about the venues and the clubs too. Those are just
and Hickory, North Carolina.
Yeah,
okay,
yes,
okay.
North Carolina, Hickory, well, North Carolina. Hey, that would be perfect, Amy. When I come down to visit in October, you know, if he could play up in Hickory, that would be great. We could go see him together.
That would be great. And I know the perfect place.
Where at?
Well, all right.
The bar that we just opened, X&O.
Okay.
Yes, that would be a perfect place.
Before we let you go, can I get you to say your name and you're listening to Vamp Radio?
Yes, of course.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Steve Means, and you're listening to Vamp Radio.
That was wonderful.
We're going to play You and Me for the people in the chat room and who will inevitably be listening or downloading it later, and we're going to let you go. Thanks so much for talking to us, and hopefully we'll catch you at Nashville to break when we can get some more time and play some more of your music.
Yes, thank you. I know my next show in Nashville will be October 20th. I'll be opening up for the band Parachute at 3rd and Lindsley. So if anybody can ask,
we love 3rd and Lindsley.
Yes.
Love that bar.
That is a great place. So
we have been there a lot, haven't we, Amy?
Yes, we have.
We've been to 3rd and Lindsley a lot. And the Parachute, really great band. I really like them.
They are. Yeah, so I encourage anybody, you know, come by MySpace page, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, eHarmony, everything.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Steve.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Here is You and Me.
And me, we got some history. It didn't
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Oh, I read that wrong. That was a great interview.
What did I write? Oh, my phone let me drop the once. Yeah,
I thought you meant it dropped because I wasn't watching the switchboard. And I was like, oh, let me pick her up.
Yeah, I wanted to, I wish we could have had him for the hour to spend, you know, see what, you know, he's really been up to. I know he's been very, very busy, and there's, you know, there's not a lot of blogging and stuff on MySpace, but Twitter, definitely follow Steve on Twitter, because you will definitely know everything he's doing. He tweets a lot of pictures from the road, and, you know, those lovely one-liners that make you think, oh, my God, this poor guy, what is he going through, you know?
I am following him on Twitter. He is a MySpace friend, and I'm going to check eHarmony later.
Yeah, and I've been listening to him. The first two albums when they first came out. The first one was sponsored by Guitar. No, Now or Never was sponsored by Guitar Center, and you could download it for free when it first came out. By being his friend on, you know, it was on his MySpace. Where to go, and so the entire album was free. Now it's on iTunes, and you know it's like $7.99 or something to that effect. It's a real good, reasonable price. And you can, if you listen to the first one, which is Rescue Me, and then this one, and then you know this coming up, I just really like the the soulfulness. I think that he's radio friendly and kind of pop, but not really. I think that he has a lot of soul to him. And he did a lot of things that Sam Brass did, those homemade videos, shooting them in his apartment and putting them up on his MySpace and up on YouTube and things like that. So you can get those. And you know, that just, for some reason, that just endears me to artists for some reason. I love their little homemade videos.
Oh, me too. But the question in the chat room was his Twitter name, and for our people that's archiving the show, just look up Steve Means on Twitter. And then if you go to his MySpace page, and that will be posted up on our website. It's our website is vampradioonline.com, and we'll post his MySpace page there. And on his MySpace, you can find his Twitter link, his Facebook link, I think his YouTube link, or all that good stuff.
So, what is coming up on band night?
Coming up on band night, we need a guest for the night. We have no idea what's happening on the 9th yet, but this week, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Blood Back to the Books, and that's going to be hosted by Marcus, Ashley, and Ange, and it's a free-for-all night, so they're basically going to talk about what books they like, and call in, tell them what books you like, and make sure you come to the chat room. And then Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have our first Flashback Friday show. We haven't done a Friday night show since Moonlight Radio. But that show is going to be hosted by me and Jess and Sean Daly. And for our first Flashback Friday, we're going to flashback to Jericho.
Mm.
And then Saturday, I know, I can't wait. I'm excited. Saturday, at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have TwiTalk, and Kelsey and Lisa and Marcus will give you all the updates on New Moon and all that. And then 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Dreamers Radio with our special guest, Flip Ron.
Oh, yeah, that's this weekend. You know, you can get Steve's T-shirts. You can get his whole schedule coming up on his MySpace page. Everything is up there. His management and booking contacts are up there. He has a promo for a shoe store called Tom's. When you purchase a pair of shoes, Tom's gives a pair of shoes to a child in need, one for one. You use the promo code and you receive $3 off your purchase. And, you know, that he's you know, doing that kind of give back kind of thing that artists are known to do. And that's really cool. He is on CD Baby, YouTube, iTunes, iLike, Facebook. He's everywhere. Everywhere. Really trying to get it spread out. What are the, do you have the guests for next week for Band Night?
No, we don't have anyone up, but we do have, if we can't find anybody, we'll sit here and play music.
Well, I was thinking I'm going to try to push for Dave Teef. I'm going to try to get in touch with him. He's the person I'll put you in touch with. Dave has his album out that is free, technically. He mm-hmm. requests a donation. The donations all go to charity. He's trying to raise $1 million, and he's on the Road to Ellen Crusade. He's the one who's the guy's on the Road to Ellen Crusade. And so maybe we can get him on and play some of his music. Dave's been a longtime musician in the Baltimore area, had a very successful band, Laughing Colors, one of my favorite bands. They play a reunion show every year, the night before Thanksgiving, generally, and at one of our biggest venues with the band that I work for, the Kelly Bell Band. And so, you know, I know him in passing. I don't know him really well, but I was really amazed by his Music, the Art of Peace, and that CD. So we want to get that going, and hopefully you guys will get out and catch Steve
yes.
where he is playing, and we'll get him to Hickory, North Carolina. In Amy's bar. We'll book him in Amy's bar.
my friends just opened this great lounge, and I'm a little co-owner of it, and they have a nightclub, too, in Charlotte, and I'm thinking both places.
Mm-hmm. That would be really good for him.
Sin's just now finding out that she is going to be co-hosting with me.
Probably. Oh, really? When am I going to be co-hosting, like, band night?
Just band night, because Jess is moving. And you
oh, wow.
Yeah, Jess
well,
is moving
you.
Into a condo somewhere in Boston, and she is busy. That's why she's not with us tonight, because she was having a panic attack today, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I move tomorrow, and nothing's packed.
Mm.
I was like, well, okay.
Not good.
But I'm also going to try to get my friend Benton Blunt on. If anybody follows me on Twitter or is on my Facebook, I have posted his new song, If You Don't Love Me, and I know I've listened to it 1,000 times. And it's a guy I went to high school with. We were going to get him on a couple of months ago, but he was busy and I was busy. And our lines got didn't get crossed. And
see,
so
did we play all of Steve's songs that we had?
No, we haven't. I want to go out with Now or Never because I like that song too.
Okay. He can. His music's been featured on The Real World on MTV and Newport Harbor. You know, so he's had a really good run of luck. I'm really excited, you know, that about like Returns to Vinyl. That's why I brought it up, and how you know a lot of the artists and a lot of the artists that we follow are really, you know, trying to stay in that independent genre, you know, and because I think with social networking and the things that we do as fans, you know. The record industry is going to have to come around and start giving people their deal. It was really funny because the TV, there was a special on the other night. It was they were replaying her diaries right before she died, and she was talking about how, you know, TLC was very, very popular, and, you know, they walked away from an, you know, album that sold 8 million copies with about $35,000 a piece because they're, you know, they were so hungry to get signed, as most, you know, bands are, that, you know, they signed away their rights to their merchandising, to almost everything. The record company and their managers owned everything, and they would throw money at them left and right. They, you know, they spent $3 million making their albums, which is just ludicrous, you know.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous to spend that kind of money, you know, to pay people, you know, that kind of money then. And then, you know, another $1 million for the video and another, you know, this. So by the time, you know, you get your pencils out and you figure it all out, I think these girls walked away from that first album. Yeah, it sold 8 million copies, but they each took home about $35,000. By the time they paid everybody else, because everybody else gets paid before the artist, you can best believe that. So
yeah, I
would you know.
Get signed. Be independent, do my own thing.
Yeah,
record my
there.
Room.
There's a lot of good. You know, how you find people? Just in case people, you know, are wondering who download it later in the archives or whatever. I still think MySpace is the greatest place for finding independent and unsigned artists, because if you go to the music page, just click on music in the menu, go to the bottom, pick a genre you like, it gives you three columns of unsigned, independent, and major label artists. And you can just, you find people that you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard about him, I like him, and you can check out people you thought of, but I scroll through the unsigned people all the time. That's how I found Steve. And that's how I found a lot of the artists. There's so many good, you know, just people just putting out such good music. There's so much out there other than what you hear on the radio.
There is. I don't even listen to my radio anymore. I don't even know why I have it. Because I'm normally listening online, checking out independent artists on MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I hate to say it, but everything on the radio is crap right now.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of NPR. I listen to a lot of NPR because that way I also get introduced to people, and that's the, mm-hmm. you know, the really, really great thing. So we're going to lead out with
Sin.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have friends like Sin who bring me great artists, and, yeah, I'm going to be listening to the songs they sent me.
And I guess people could email some suggestions, you know, because you know, band night isn't just about vamps. But I am excited about one thing though. Coming up, September 10th, premiere Vampire Diaries on the CW.
Oh, I know. And then on the 15th, we are going to have our Twilight Diary show, which is Twilight and Vampire Diaries together.
That'll be cool. That'll be way cool.
Thursdays, if my phone rings, whoever's calling me, they will be hurting the next day. Because from 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock, I will be in front of my TV and I am not moving. I have me some vampires and then I got me some vampire killers.
And that'll be that.
Exactly.
Don't call Amy. She is busy. don't call her if she's busy.
Only call me if Blood Bats and Books is, like, destroyed and I need to come in and rescue the show.
There you go.
It's the only time you can call. But, yes, we are going to go out with Now or Never.
All righty.
So thank you, Sin.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys, and I'll talk to you all later.
Good night, everyone.
I know I said some things I did not mean. Now you've packed your bags. Please don't leave. Let me just make it up to you. Let me just make it up.